Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell, Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks to Steve Kuhner for stopping by. We got to talk some Falcons, even though it's the bye weekend. We will. We're going to get into some more college football conversation because the Dogs have to rebound, regroup, and hand it to Kentucky this weekend. That is their next opponent. We'll dive into that as well. But before we get to that, Mike, I guess that some people want to continue this discussion that we've been having all week. We have not. We have moved on. We have turned the page. We have closed the book. But I just want to address it because, as Mike put out there earlier this week, and it became a big topic of conversation on our show because Chipper Jones responded about comparison that was made to our current manager and now former manager, Brian Snicker, and, of course, Bobby Cox. But I just want to say, man, like, everybody out there, guys are hitting us up. Man, y'all are the best. We know. Y'all crush it. We know. Y'all are the best station. We know. But we don't have to address a lot of this stuff because at the end of the day, man, at some point, Mike, it gets childish. It
right.
just does.
Look, man, I'm happy to create content for other stations and they want to talk about me here in town, but we're above that because we destroy people that do sports talk in our time slot, and that's documented. So, again, I said what I said about Bobby Cox's legacy. I've already talked about it. I tried to get Chipper to come on our airwaves. Chipper has been on our airwaves. He's been on our show.
Multiple times.
I don't know what Chipper... Why he said he has never been on our station, because he has. But again, it was a comment which I thought was, you know, I thought it was fair, you know, to say that, you know, Snicker did more with less. And this is after I praised Snicker. It wasn't like the first thing that out of my mouth.
Yeah.
After Brian Snicker announced that he was going to resign and step down as Braves manager. And I just said, look, you know, he never had the resources that Bobby did. Because the idea is, as I said, who are you going to compare him to? You know, compare him to Tony La Russa? You're going to compare him to Joe Torre? You know, you compare him to the guy that, you know, had the success, you know, before him. You know, there was a manager in between, but I thought it was a fair comparison. And because Chipper came up with Bobby Cox and his organization, that Bobby was a GM, drafted him, I understand the connection there. And guys, we all love Bobby Cox. It was never personal. Chipper couldn't understand that it wasn't personal. We're talking about what happened on the baseball field. And, you know, he decided to continue his beef with me, and that's fine. That's his prerogative. Again, I think when you're going to call people names, and somebody in a gentlemanly fashion offers you the opportunity to come on our station and discuss what you don't like about what I said, you take that opportunity. Chipper chose not to. Again, his prerogative. But as I said on the air, I thought it was a fair comparison and a conversation about the legacy of you know, what Snicker was and what he did compared to a guy that had more resources and was around longer and only also brought home one World Series. But again, Chipper's entitled to his opinion. We're the number one sports talk show in town. We got the best listeners in town. And there's other folks that all they do is take shots because they're terrible at what they do, and that's all they've got.
With that said, a couple of things I want to let you know in regards to one is the NFL, and then one is just pop culture. Lamar Jackson ruled out for the Ravens game on Sunday versus the Texans, Mike. So Ravens are 1-3. Starting 1-4, if they were to lose this game, certainly puts a dash in their Super Bowl hopes. It's a big deal. They're already banged up, but we were talking about this earlier, potentially for some of these guys that we were talking about may or may not be available Sunday. It is Lamar Jackson. It is official. He has been ruled out. Here's the pop culture thing. Sean Diddy Combs gets 4 years in prison today. The sentencing was today. And Diddy gets 4 years and for the case involving sex workers and violence. A lot of people thought he was going to get time served and walk out today. He did not. Now, he also didn't get the 11 years they were asking for,
right.
But Diddy is going to jail for 4 more years.
We had talked about this in Guy Talk a couple of times. This is even before Day Day was producing our show. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff might be unseemly to you, but as Carl and I said, if you got consenting adults involved, it seemed like it was, you know, a little strange for some, but it was legal. But they felt the other way, and certainly the jury did, and the judge has ruled, and now 4 years. I thought Pete Diddy really did think he was going to walk out of court today.
I did, too. I did, too. He's 55 now. So, look.
I thought they overcharged to a degree. They did walk some of the stuff back right before the proceedings began, but either way, 4 years is 4 years.
It is, man. It is. Now, again, don't want to dive in too hard on this. I don't know if that means, you know, he could get out in two. Who knows? I haven't looked at all this. It's just breaking that he got 4 years today. So that's something that a lot of folks around the country have been talking about what was going to happen in that case. Meanwhile, Mike, let's talk some football. Let's talk about the Falcons, man. After the first 4 weeks, we're 2-2. A couple of things. The defense has shown the most consistency. However, the offense finally displayed their explosive nature against the Commanders. This is what they can be. I don't know if they'll be that every week. But as we talk about the first 4 weeks, the most consistent thing has been what? The defense?
Bijan Robinson.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the Carolina game, if you know, he called an outlier, he still probably could have had a better day, you know, than most running backs, even in that losing effort. But Bijan, to me, has been number one. I think that the defense as a whole, you know, some of its parts, because some days one guy pops, another day another guy pops. Some guys felt our linebacker core was a little bit below. I disagree. I think, you know, now I know it doesn't count when you're this close to getting an interception or this close to getting the quarterback on the ground. That's week one with Baker Mayfield and just last week with a Divine Diablo. But I think the defense has been great. I think they're coming into their own. I think there's a video I just retweeted that a dude named Trayshawn put up there, and it shows Jalen Walker basically looking like everything he did in his prime at UGA, breaking down, coming down the line, and nearly destroying the running back right after the handoff with Mariota. This is from last Sunday. So the defense is only getting better. Ulbrich will have more confidence. You get A.J. Terrell back, presumably 100% in time for Buffalo. So I'm feeling pretty good about this. Now, yeah, it's daunting with Josh Allen, but I think the defense is better. But Bijan is the number one. We know what he is, but now he's on a national level. Everybody's aware.
All right, here's some other things that stand out to us. In a bye week, guys, hopefully the guys get rested. They come back, and, Mike, we go on a little bit of a tear. It was great to go into the bye week with a win. Here's the thing, though. We get a real test on that Monday night game. And if you beat the Bills at home, then you're going to grab the attention of a lot of folks around the country who say, oh, that's the Falcon team that we thought we were getting, not the one that didn't look the part, especially against Carolina, and didn't score any points. But the other thing that's jumped out at us is the production of Kyle Pitts. Mike, he's playing with confidence. He's having a strong start to the season. He's got to build on this, but also he can't throw the ball to himself. He's got to be throwing the football, but 20 receptions on 24 targets. Guys, this dude's not dropping the ball. When he's thrown to, Kyle Pitts is making catches, even if it's for 5-6 yards. And, Mike, he's got 205 yards and a touchdown already. This is a good start for him.
I think he could have 3 touchdowns. We've talked about looking at some of that 22 film where you see the whole field. And sometimes, look, Penix has got a lot of options, including Drake London. But Pitts is having the season we've all wanted. You know, the first year, 1,000 yards to Matt Ryan, just 1 touchdown. To be that red zone weapon, if we're talking about 8 to 9 touchdowns by the end of the season.
Yes.
And then it's funny because, guys, it's we've had so many discussions about Kyle Pitts when we interviewed him. Because, again, unlike other people, when we say things, we'll say it to their face. But we talked about it with Kyle Pitts, and we said, hey, man, are your ears burning? Because we've been talking a lot about you and, you know, do you love the game and all that stuff. He's, you know, whether he was feeling, I don't know, a little disenfranchised because of, you know, some bad quarterback play. Also, a year and a half of his time here, he wasn't 100% with a knee injury. But now this is everything you wanted Pitts to be, to where now we have listeners hitting us up on the text line saying, well, how do you re-sign Pitts? Mm. Like, well, you and I were saying that might be a good problem to have. You know, if he gets up to where he's, I mean, the linchpin in the offense that he always should be, because I don't think Mooney's 100%. That's an interesting conversation. But, man, eventually we're going to run out of loot because we've drafted really well the last couple of years.
Yeah, no
doubt. And Drake still has got to get his deal.
This is true. One other thing that jumps out at us, and again, just talking about the first 4 games, guys, this is not what our season will be, but we hope some of these things that they can build on. It's the defensive rookies, right? It's Xavier Watts. It's Billy Bowman. Watts has two picks. Bowman has one. Watts has 23 tackles already this season. He's one of the leading tacklers for the squad. And then you talk about Pierce with two tackles, a half sack, Jalen Walker with 10 tackles and a sack. It's the rookies. And if they continue to grow like we're watching them grow here, by week 10, what's this look like, Mike? How much better are these guys? Because by then, we're not talking about Watts and Billy Bowman being rookies back there anymore. We're talking about these guys being, you know, having almost a full season under their belt. I just feel like there's nothing that substitutes playing time. Playing these guys early, getting them in. What are we waiting on? Get them out there.
And that's one of the things, you know, we talked about it doing the shows up at Hooters this summer after camp. You know, Watts we didn't get to see as much of because he had some lingering injuries. But Bowman we loved, and now Watts, as you said, defensive, you know, NFC rookie so far of the month. Because he makes plays. He's a ball hawk. He had, he had more interceptions than anybody his last two seasons at Notre Dame. So now you're seeing that. You get a healthy A.J. Terrell combined with the pass rush. Look, this was always going to be the first four or five games, including Buffalo, we always felt, can we be 3-2? Maybe 2-3? Not sure. Never thought we'd be 0-2 in the division. I don't think anybody expected us to lose to Carolina. That's in the rear view. Now you're getting healthy. And the other thing, remember how much you and I don't think it was unwarranted. There was legitimate beef about Elijah Wilkinson.
It was.
Because he was the third option at right tackle. But I think he's done a hell of a job, too.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, with the Falcons off this Sunday, we have a triple header right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It starts at 9:15. That's right, early Sunday morning football. It's great. Get up, get your coffee, whatever you do, and watch the Vikings take on the Broncos in London. After that, it's Cowboys at Jets. That's an interesting game, by the way, because the Cowboys' defense is bad, and the Jets may get their first victory of the season, followed by the Lions at Bengals. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. Three big NFL games all day this Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We talked about, you know, the rushing numbers. Now, I know that sometimes because I don't care how, you know, Bijan, you know, gets to like 2,000 or 1,800 yards from scrimmage.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
And last week it was over 100 yards receiving the ball.
Yeah, he's off to a tremendous start, man. Best running back in the league. I said it 2 weeks ago, and that's where I'm at. And I love Saquon and Derrick Henry right now. Seems like he got a fumbling problem. I don't know what's going on there. But the versatility of what Christian McCaffrey showed you last night is exactly what Bijan brings to this offense, and that's why he's so going to be so dominant. All right, we're coming back. Why will the Dogs win tomorrow? We're going to hear Kirby Smart talk about how the loss against Bama has been motivating his squad. It's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Mark Stoops should be fired, but they're not going to at Kentucky because his buyout is way too much. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Kentucky's next up for Georgia. We talk about these coaches that are on the hot seat, specifically in the SEC, Mike. Of course, Napier is one of them. But as Kentucky rolls in here 2-2, and they got beat up by South Carolina last week, they have quarterback issues. Georgia is PO'd, and everything that Georgia does well, Kentucky doesn't. And I just feel like this is a game, not just a get-right game, but also one of these games where Georgia is not going to start off slow. It's been one of the things that we've all talked about. So as we talk about this matchup, it's a noon start. That concerns you, though, right? The noon start?
Well, I mean, look, they don't really have the offensive firepower to do anything like what Tennessee did.
No.
Or certainly what Alabama did with those two, like, you know, Olympic-level wide receivers. But, you know, if it's still a noon game, are you coaching angry? Are the players angry? Everybody's angry. They've heard the chatter. I don't know. Real quick, just about Mark Stoops, it gets back to that same question we used to have about, you know, Georgia Tech with Paul Johnson. I brought this up to Carl earlier. Some Tech fans felt, well, back in the pre-NIL transfer portal world, this is as good as it gets, and every 4 or 5 years, you know, the class will come to fruition, and you can win 10 or 11 games and, you know, and go beat, you know, and win an Orange Bowl, or beat an Iowa, something like that. But I don't think most fans are satisfied with that. Is that what Kentucky is? Because Mark Stoops has, like, two of the 10-win seasons. You got to go back to, like, Bear Bryant to find any better. So I like the guy.
And, that got him in a huge extension and this big buyout.
He was the DC for Jimbo Fisher back in the day. He left. He built the Florida State defense that won the championship in 13, went out to Kentucky. But I don't know, man. I mean, 10 wins in 18, to your point, 10 wins in 21, 7-6, 7-6, 4-8. It's just, are you going to do, like Arkansas? Arkansas, their own athletic director, came out and said, we ain't got the money. Mm-hmm. So is Kentucky people going to funnel that basketball money to the football program? Is that what it takes to get the better quarterback? Because remember, what they have last year, they picked up Vandegrift when he left Georgia?
Yes.
Didn't amount to anything.
No. And
you need some stars in there.
And the guy they have now is hurt. They got a backup in there who played last week, and Zach Calzada is the guy. But Cutter Bowley doesn't get the job done. Here's the thing that I would tell you. Do Tech fans feel better right now about where their situation is with their football program? Mike, the money is the money. The new age of where college football is, right? You've got to create and make sure you are getting the right players in. Everybody, allegedly, is spending the same amount. Schools are paying players. We know what the situation is. But Brent Key has a lot of Tech fans believing that this is moving in the right direction. That has to do with your coach. That has to do with not being mediocre. The last three seasons has been very mediocre. So even though you've got those 10-win seasons on your belt or on your resume, you're not building on it. And how often on this show do we talk about building on it? You can't go 4-8 and just accept that in the SEC, where it's the most competitive college football league in the country.
Especially when you look at what Vandy's doing now.
Correct. So when you look at that, and by the way, that's a big rivalry. That's a big rivalry. Tennessee's a big rivalry. You've got to get a better coach. That's where I'm at, but that has nothing to do with the Dogs winning tomorrow. That's just my personal opinion.
But you know, Kentucky,
they keep asking me for money.
Because Carl's daughter's going there. And that's the thing about Kentucky, the trademark Kirby, we got the soundbite. You know, they're physical. You know, they want to run the ball and all that. The only question we had, we spent a lot of time on this in our pick segment. You can rewind to 340 on the Odyssey app. But you and I were talking about Kirby's number and how he is against the spread. 9-22-1 against the spread since the start of 23 and really struggles covering the big double-digit numbers. I mean, and by the way, a guy hit me up on the text line. Jimmy's like, what do you have against Georgia? No, I'm not. We're all pulling for Georgia. You know they're going to win the game. The question is, they cover the 19.5.
Yes.
And I think if they start doing that, then I'll start betting them again. But this is a game I think a lot of folks, certainly Vegas, would like to see them get right. And I think there's some money that has moved on. I guess the number came down. So a lot of folks bet Kentucky the last couple days.
Look, the Dogs are not dynamic when you talk about offensively. They're 47th in the country in scoring. Sounds crazy, right? Because they're scoring 34.5 points a game. They didn't do that against Alabama, but that's on average through the season so far. If you told me they were going to score 35 points, that's great. Here's the kicker. If you're going to be a national contender, you've got to be above that 40-point mark. We've seen it. The big dynamic offenses are able to put up a lot of points. They haven't shown that. So when you're 47th in the country, Mike, even though you got all these athletes, you went out and invested in wide receivers, right? You say, what's going on? They are going to be all right, but I think that's the part about this that hasn't really clicked in yet. We saw it early on, and everybody said, they're not going to show you everything. Then you get in a big game, and you go, what's going on? You've got to, at some point, get it rolling. And I thought they called – you said it. In the Tennessee game, they called a great game. Bobo did a great job, but they're 72nd in the country in passing. They're only averaging 228 yards. Mike, Tennessee, Ole Miss – they're throwing 400 yards a game.
And I saw somebody sent me a stat today that said that Gunnar Stockton has got like the, again, PFF, I know you can take it with a grain of salt, but he's got one of the highest ratings for like the deep ball.
Makes sense.
But he only throws three of them a game.
That's the problem.
Which gets us back to, you know, why'd you spend the money on Noah Thomas, where apparently you got other guys that are better? That's what Connor Riley told us, at least to the mind of the coaching staff. Zach Branch is a rock star. Zach Branch makes things happen. Yep. How are you not getting him more touches? You know, one of the things, the byproduct of this week against Alabama, Chauncey Bowens, there's your guy. And until Frazier stops with the oopsies, you really can't trust him. So you got some good things going. You're not defined by the season. There's a lot of football to be played. But one thing Connor Riley told us on Tuesday, he always felt there was a ceiling that maybe you make the playoffs, but he felt this team was so young. And in the old days, Georgia is like, you know, not that Kirby would say it, but the adage, you know, we don't retool, we reload. But can you really do that in this day and age with the depth, or you know, the issues with depth we talked about and NIL and all that? So now this is where the coaching comes in. The point I'm making is coach them up, and then these guys will play better, make better decisions, put them in a place to succeed,
yeah.
Be more aggressive in the first quarter. Don't get down 14-0. Do that to Ole Miss. You'll have the same result.
I agree. And by the way, Georgia Tech's off this week. That's so they get a chance to kind of regroup. But listen, after their big win last week, look, their future is right in front of them. You talk about having everything you want to accomplish right in front of you. Georgia Tech, you've got that, but they get a break. But as far as Georgia's concerned, let's hear Kirby talk about the Kentucky game. And he's right. Look, last year was there. Kentucky plays them to the end. They had a chance, Mike. You walk out of there with 2 points. Dogfish was like, what the hell is going on, right? They had different dudes on that team, and that was a home game for Kentucky. That's not the case tomorrow.
Right. All right, guys. It's on to Kentucky for us. Our guys are fired up, got work done yesterday, and a bunch of them came in. And I think when you see our guys, you realize how invested they are when they hurt. It's good when guys hurt because you hurt relative to how invested you are in something. So I know our guys will have good energy today for a really, really – it's always the most physical game when we play these guys because philosophically they believe in running the ball. We believe in running the ball. Those two things hit head-to-head when we play them.
But that's a testament to Mark Stoops, to your point about the physicality. Like, right. Okay, that's your trademark.
Elko is the same kind of thing with Texas A&M.
Right. Like you know defensively, hey, this is how it's going to be. We're going to hit them. Great. Problem is you need playmakers in this league, and they just don't have enough of them. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, man, let's go around the SEC. What do you think is going to happen with Alabama? Alabama,
yes.
And Vandy, is there going to be a letdown after all the things that happened in Athens on Saturday night on national TV? The number right now, Dave, I'm looking at 11.5.
It went up.
So
it's 10.5.
It's up to 11.5. FanDuel's got it at 12.5, by the way.
Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide at home at Bryant-Denny. You know, Pavia's been talking all that noise, but again, generally he backs it up.
He does.
And, you know, as we just talked about, the kind of talent gap that Vandy's found a way to close, and Alabama, I could imagine Alabama circled this date. But human nature for some of those young men to have a little bit of a letdown after the Georgia game. I'm not saying they're going to – well, I don't know. I know about covering 11.5. I think Bama wins. But how do you see this one playing
out? So, remember last year, and this is the kicker, Vandy was a 3-touchdown underdog. It was last year. And ultimately, I think it was they won that game. I want to say 40 or 35 or something of that nature. Bottom line is this, Mike. Vandy's a really good football team. We are about to find out about Clark Lee's football team for real. If the Alabama shows up that we saw last week against Georgia, it's going to be a long afternoon, especially offensively, okay? But I do think Vandy can score on them.
Right.
I do think Alabama's vulnerable to give up some points. This is not a shutdown defense. This isn't, you know, back in 2011 when they were giving up 10 points a game when Kirby was the DC. That's not this Alabama. So I think that Pavia and the Vandy Commodores are going to score points. My question is, I don't think they can stop them. Okay. I don't think they can slow down Ty Simpson and those wide receivers. That's going to be the issue.
Right. And by the way, Data, you took the under in this game?
Yeah, I took the under. I think I took it at, hold on. Oh, I put my paper up.
It's 56.
I think it was 55, right?
Yeah, it's, wow, that
well,
went up
too. It was 55 when I took it, yeah.
With 56 and a hey now. And by the way, Carl and I, we bounce around the SEC. We spent a lot of time on this today. Just real quick. It's just Vegas and the betting public doesn't trust Arch Manning.
Would you stop it?
Yet. And some of the betting public, which I am, don't trust Steve Sarkisian. I
think it's more of that.
We know that Florida is damaged goods right now with Lagway and Napier's situation, but they still got a physical defense. And LSU, you know, they don't run the ball effectively, and the passing game has been banged up. Rumors that Nussmeier's had an oblique all this time. But Florida was able to hang with LSU in their Death Valley.
Yep.
So for a guy to make his first road SEC start to go into Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, that's a bit rich, man. That's going to be tough.
Wait a minute. Time out. He's already been at the shoe. He's already played in front of 100-plus thousand on the road.
Huh?
He started the season at Ohio State. And Sark was scared to let him play.
Carl, let me tell you something about Southern fans. Their passion, their blood runs hotter. There's more noise. There's more energy.
Is they going to be down there in Florida? They're ready to run Napier out of there.
I think for Florida, this is their last chance to get all the things I just said and get some juice for this game.
I'm with you, man. Look.
3:30 start, by the way.
It's a big game for both teams for various reasons. Florida, survival. For Texas, look, if Texas goes in there and gets punched in the face, Mike, there's going to be some real questions about Sark. There just is. There already are about, hey, you got a really good team. Is your team playing up to its potential?
Right.
So this is a big game in many ways. But I got to tell you something. The Arch thing, if he goes and throws two picks, Mike, plays terrible, then the criticism will continue to build that maybe he's not that guy and is not as good. But I think he's taking a turn. We're going to find out.
And then Florida State, of course, the nightcap, 7:30, the U. It was going to be College Game Day in Tallahassee, and then they lost to Virginia. So they moved that to Alabama for Vandy. But real quick, Miami's a 4.5-point favorite. The toughest team they played was Notre Dame. They dispatched USF after USF kind of embarrassed Florida.
I like the Noles to cover. I know you're not taking it, but I do.
I like the over in this at 53.5. I think there'll be a lot of points scored. I think Carson Beck. Florida State's defense looks so shaky at times. The tackling was not good.
Oh, so you like Miami?
No, I'm not saying that either. I mean, look, this game is beyond heartbreak. You know me, Florida State flunky. But this one, I've been in person for two wide rights and a wide left. I hope it doesn't come down to a field goal. I think the over is the play. But this is Florida State's season right here. If you want to be in the playoff, you got to knock off the U.
All right. We got more to dive into. Boy, I tell you what, I'm really amped for this weekend. We got some good games. We got some really good games.
Pro games are kind of funky. A lot of cross-divisional and cross-conference games. It's hard to get a vibe or a beat on them.
No doubt. We've got an update on a couple of injuries around the NFL. We'll fill you in on that and also recap a few things that Snit had to say on the Steakhouse today as he joined Steak and Sandra to talk about the decision of walking away from the Braves, and now the Braves have a big decision to make. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great interview this morning on the Steakhouse with Sandra and Steaky. And hopefully Steak had a good fast for Yom Kippur. But Sandra's always had a great relationship with the Braves manager, and that was so cool to hear, you know, Brian come on and kind of just, as he always does, just be straight open and honest and talk about his feelings and where his head was at and how he reached this decision and, you know, the idea that, you know, he kind of dispelled that the organization was going to push him out. It was his decision.
You concerned, and I say this, with how important this hire is, like, we have a good team. Let's just assume, and we will, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, Ronald Acuna, everybody that had some kind of issue this year or dealing with whatever, Money Harris, Mike,
right,
Ozzie, and that's a decision yet we still haven't even quite talked about because the news this week has been about the manager. But how important this is, I think a lot of people feel like, Mike, you just hire somebody, the team's good, and it will roll. Guys, it doesn't happen that way. Mike, these managers do matter because here's what I will tell you my experience covering baseball. You're with these guys more than you are your family. And if you don't have good relationships when you're spending 8 months with a bunch of men, it becomes hard, Mike, and you have to have a connection, not just on the field, but off. I'm telling you, I'm not taking this hire for granted as if anybody can get this job, and because we're talented, we're going to go win. I think the deal with Snit, and this goes for Bobby Cox too, ironically, since we've been talking about him this week, they both understood and had that thing.
Right.
Whether they knew baseball, guys, I don't even know if that mattered. If you're going to tell me you're around the game for 50 years and you don't know when to pull a pitcher, when to put a pitcher right. in, that's secondary. It is how you build these relationships, Mike, and more importantly, handle the egos. Now, you're going to say, well, we don't have a lot of egos in the clubhouse. Guys, they all have egos. And whether it's out front or forward or whether it's behind closed doors, that's what a manager has to do, Mike, and the best ones do it.
Right, and that's why, you know, you look at some of the names out there. You know, David Ross is openly candidate. You know, he's lobbying for it, but yeah, he's a candidate, and he's letting it known he'd love to be the manager of the Braves, and why not?
Sure.
And he was replaced by Greg Counsell. Interesting sidebar dynamic on the NL Divisional Series with the Brewers and the Cubs, the proximity just up the street, and the fact that, you know, Counsell leaves the Brewers. A lot of Brewers fans are ticked off at him going to Chi-Town because they got little brother syndrome, you know, with the Cubbies. And then Pat Murphy wins the manager of the year. I thought Snicker should have been manager of the year last year for just getting him in the wild card.
Crazy.
But, yeah, Brewers against the Cubs, that's going to be interesting. Another, okay, double sidebar. Padres get eliminated last night.
Yes.
And a lot of folks are saying, wow, the robot umps are coming a year too late for the Padres. Bogarts get punched out. They nearly jump the umpires as they leave the field, if you didn't see that. But next year we'll have the challenges and calls like basically the strike three punch out on a ball that was low and away would not happen. And for what it's worth, the Padres will still be alive. But getting back to what we were talking about, the name I'm interested in, just to keep it outside of the family.
Okay.
How about Skip Schumacher?
And by the way, is that a big part of this?
Well,
is that, how big of that is
Ross,
for you?
Ross played catcher for Bobby back in the day, you know, and Freddie, I believe. But he's, you know, he's always got ties to the Braves. He played here back in the day. Is it important to have that connection? Walt Weiss has been the bench coach since 18. You know, Snicker was a bench coach. You know, is Walt Weiss. Nothing against Walt. I just don't know if that's compelling for the fan base. Just bear with me on the Skip Schumacher thing. This guy was NL Manager of the Year, got that team into the playoffs. Mm. Following year, they got it and he went down the other way. Had a falling out with management, as many people do in Miami, and left. He wants to get back in baseball. He was hired by the Rangers, working as an advisor. He's not married to analytics. He's 45.
Right.
So a younger guy who played, you remember him from the Cardinals, and like Snicker, he kind of tries to find the balance between what's on the printout and what's in your gut.
I do think there is a balance with that. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. Let us know what you think. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on as we move through the offseason. Mike, you know, we talk about this in football, how important it is to hire the GM before the coach or the right. coach before the GM. Does this have any bearing on how whoever gets this job, the manager, the new manager,
right.
and what direction he wants to go with potential free agents, does this have any bearing? Ooh,
well, I mean, I think, you know, Alex is obviously completely entrenched as the man, and he's done some amazing, as we talked about Snicker and his amazing managerial skills in 21, Alex at the trade deadline, and it'll go down in history, you know? Between getting Jock Peterson and who even knew who Soler was, right?
True.
Rosario was hurt at the time with the Tribe. So now you look at how that thing played out, the night shift. Look, I always felt, and this is an argument I get into with Braves fans all the time. If you're down on Alex, you feel that he's just cheap with pitching. He should have signed Dansby. Should have kept Freddie. Should have said, hey, and I do agree. Braves should have just eaten the 6 year because in hindsight, you need some clutch, and you lost a lot of. I don't know, playing personality, chemistry, whatever you want to call it, backbone, clutch in that clubhouse, in my mind. But as far as your question, you got the Braves payroll jumping up right now before they make any adjustments or drop guys, third in Major League Baseball. All the escalators, you know, I'm always killing the Braves for being cheap. Well, now it's like the chickens come home to roost with some of these contracts.
Yeah, because we forget how early they signed a lot of these guys. That includes Ozzy and Acuna. And even Riley. And it's not necessarily that, hey, we don't have a bunch of guys on this roster making $200 million. Is that these escalators that were slowly building, right? And the point of that was, and look, at the time I thought it was brilliant by the Braves. Some people say you lock these contracts in. It makes no sense because it's difficult to get out. You know, you're signing a young guy to 8 or 9 years, Mike, but he's not going to turn down $175 million. But as you are slowly building and these escalators are growing, what you're hoping was that the team was also winning.
Right.
But you weren't paying top dollar for those positions. Austin Riley's a $300-400 million third baseman, but they're not paying that. So now we get to a point where this year, specifically, the team's not as good, and then you go, wait a minute, these escalators are kicking in. That's going to affect how much you go out and spend because, Mike, if you're saying we're third in payroll, well, now you're telling me you want me to put $200 more million on top of that to go get three starting pitchers?
I've always wanted the Braves to know on last year's payroll, my benchmark was the Phillies and trying to close that gap to go get that frontline starting pitching. We've already told you about it. Next year, Chris Sale is back. That injury was, again, that was out of the blue with the rib cage. He's fine. What's Strider going to be? You don't know how Strider continues his progression without having 100-mile-an-hour stuff.
We hope he comes back.
Schwellenbach, you know, is coming back. I mean, you've got guys you believe in. Obviously, Hurston Waldrop. But here's the thing. At some point in August, they'll have to go to a six-man rotation because Waldrop will never have pitched so many innings. And how many times does Snicker have to deal with that? That's why I when I got in that debate, you know, and again, Chipper's not hearing what I'm saying, is there was never once that Bobby had to worry about who his fourth or fifth starter was.
Yeah, gas right back. On. Gas back.
But in the case of Snit never had those four guys, let alone five.
No.
And we don't have those guys right now, you know? So can the Braves management find this juggling act? And does the Braves, you know, Braves Holdings, Inc., allow Alex to go spend for that pitch? And we're talking about whoever the manager's going to be.
Whoever the manager
is. And Snicker's a consultant. And I don't think that's window dressing. I think he's got some input. What if Snicker's lobbying for Walt Weiss?
And he might be. We don't know. And by the way,
and maybe Walt's a great. Maybe Walt's. Maybe Walt's a great friggin' manager. Yeah. I don't know. I can't say Walt's not. I'm just saying it's not as compelling as maybe some other hires.
Yeah, and we don't know that. And look, to Snicker's, you know, credit, did we know he was going to be as good as he was when he got the job?
You and I thought he'd be there 2 years. Remember that?
It was when we get good, they'll bring in a bigger name. No need to.
Didn't have to.
He was great. And so that's the part about Weiss that we don't know. Maybe he is. This is going to be interesting as we follow. We're talking about it. If you missed the interview today, go online, odyssey.com, and check it out, guys. Full interview is there as Snit was talking on our station about all the things and his decision making. All right, coming up, we have the high school show tonight, high school scoreboard show. Garrett Chapman's out there. He's going to be with Coach tonight. Where are you headed, Day-Day? What's going on with you tonight?
Yeah, I'll be headed over to New Manchester High School out there in Douglasville. Oh. They're off to a 5-0 start. Which is the first time in program history. And then if they win tonight, 6-0, again, obviously, first time in program history. Big region matchup with South Paulding on that one.
All right.
Nice.
And we got you covered here with all the local and statewide high school scores and information. We know how big of a deal it is. And so make sure you check out the high school scoreboard show coming up after we get done.
Yeah, man. We got NFL. But again, you don't have to watch anything because the Falcons aren't out there. But this week, a lot of some strange matchups. You and I didn't like a lot of the NFL games this week. Mm-hmm. But we will get to watch Buffalo, who we'll see next Monday night. So, again, Buffalo Sunday night against the – and we'll see the Patriots as well. So, a chance to see what they're all about.
And I'm definitely going to watch because – and it's not as if they're going to do the same things. It's just, guys, you get a sense of what Buffalo is if you haven't had a chance to watch them. And I'm sure the Falcons brass will be watching as well. All right, Day-Day, we got to get out of here, man, and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests, not only today, but all week long. We appreciate you guys listening as well. Steve Coonan stopping by today. Thanks to him. Also, earlier today, I'm trying to remember, Day-Day, we had on BMAC. Thank you. Yeah. It slipped my mind. Yeah, Brian McFadden talking all things NFL. That was today, but this has been an incredible week of guests. And so if you missed any of those interviews, go check them out. Next week, guys, we're back on the grind with the Falcons as they'll get back to work. Mike and I will be up there next Thursday. It's Monday night, the following Monday night. So you got to get through this Monday night, but we play the following Monday night. And we'll be up there with Coach and talking to players and all of that good stuff. So we're looking forward to that. And next week, just a reminder, we'll tell you more. We're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram on Wednesday of next week.
Okay.
So making a trip back out there to Hiram.
That's a wild crowd up there. They're probably drinking right now.
They probably are.
Probably just got off the lake.
Hey, man, happy Friday, Day-Day. Good job of handling everything. Big O's back next week. We hope you have a great weekend. Stay tuned. High school scoreboard show's coming up. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, thanks to the best audience in town. You guys get us, and you get me, and you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, we can always agree or disagree when it comes to sports takes, but unfortunately, the case of Chipper Jones, couldn't get him on the show to talk about it. I thought I made a reasonable comment about the legacy of Brian Snicker. I praised Snicker in a couple of pieces on social media. media, and then compare and contrast him to Bobby Cox, which I thought was a fair comparison based on the legacy and the fact that for many of our listeners and our audience, those are the two Braves managers you're most familiar with. And so I thought it was fair. I know that Bobby's had health concerns. We saw, you know, he didn't look so great up in there for the 95 reunion, but it was never personal. I didn't say this about Bobby Cox or that. I just said he did less with more. How that turns into a personal attack, I think, Chipper, you need to clear out your ears because you're wrong, pal. Please.
Look, Kirby doesn't care about covering spreads. He just cares about winning. He doesn't care how it looks. And look, if they didn't blow TCU out a couple of years ago and just barely won, would it matter? No. You'd still be national champions. But all of a sudden now, you got people going, well, they don't cover the spread. Really?
Well, they don't cover the spread.
We're going to see tomorrow.
They're historically horrible covering the spread since 23.
Things got to change. Things going to change, Mike, sooner or later.
I believe the last time they covered the spread was TCU.
All right. We're going to find out. We will see what the dogs do. And we're talking with you on Monday, man, 2 o'clock. Make sure you're here. And enjoy your weekend, everybody. If you love the show.
You tell your friends.
You don't?
You've been called a gas bag through no fault of your own.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.